ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय My dear king, all the sons of Prajapati Daksha were alike in being very gentle and obedient to the orders of their father. When their father ordered them to beget children, they all went in the western direction. Text 3. In the west, where the river Sindhu meets the sea, there is a great place of pilgrimage known as Narayana Saras. Many sages and others advanced in spiritual consciousness lived there. Texts 4 and 5. In that holy place, the Hayashas began regularly touching the lake's waters and bathing in them. Gradually becoming very much purified, they became inclined toward the activities of Paramahamsas. Nevertheless, because their father had ordered them to increase the population, they performed severe austerities to fulfill his desires. One day, when the great sage Narada saw those boys performing such fine austerities to increase the population, Narada approached them. Text 6. 6 to 8, the great sage Narada said, "My dear Hyakshas, you have not seen the extremities of the earth. There is a kingdom where only one man lives, and where there is a hole from which, having entered, no one emerges. A woman there who is extremely unchaste adorns herself with various attractive dresses, and the man who lives there is her husband. In that kingdom, there is a river flowing in both directions, a wonderful home made of 25 materials, a swan that vibrates various sounds, and an automatically revolving object made of sharp razors and thunderbolts. You have not seen all this, and therefore you are inexperienced boys without advanced knowledge. How then will you create progeny?" Purport: Narada Muni saw that the boys known as the Hyakshas were already purified because of living in that holy place and were practically ready for liberation. Why then should they become encouraged to become entangled in family life, which is so dark that once having entered it, one cannot leave it? Through this analogy, Narada Muni asked them to consider why they should follow their father's order to be entangled in family life. Indirectly, he asked them to find within the cause of their hearts the situation of the super soul, Lord Vishnu, for then they would truly be experienced. In other words, one who is too involved in his material environment and does not look within the core of his heart is increasingly entangled in the illusory energy. Narada Muni's purpose was to get the sons of Prajapati Daksha to divert their attention towards spiritual realization instead of involving themselves in the ordinary but complicated affairs of propagation. The same advice was given by Prahlad Maharaj to his father, Bhagavatam 755, Tat Sadhu Manya Sura Varya Dehina Sara Sam Asamud Vigna Diyama Sad Rahat Hippat Mahapatam Griham Anda Kumpam Avanam Gato Yadadim Ashrayita. In the dark well of family life, one is always full of anxiety because of having accepted a temporary body. One wants to free himself from this anxiety. One should immediately leave family life and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. Narada Muni advised the Hyakshas not to enter household life. Since they were already advanced in spiritual knowledge, why should they be entangled in that way? So, this section continues on, Srimad Bhagavatam. And in regard to Prajapati Daksha. So Prajapati Daksha, a long story you've been reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It goes all the way back to, I remember, the fourth canto, isn't it? Daksha Jagya. And all the cursing and counter-cursing. Long story with that. But of course, Daksha had a very exalted personality. He's one of the Manasaputra of Lord Brahma, directly from the mind of Brahma, born from all different parts of his body, was Daksha. Daksha was born from the thumb of Lord Brahma. And so he's a very exalted personality, and Lord Brahma appointed him the chief of the Prajapatis. Yeah, so he was a very exalted physician. There's one story actually that before the big yajna, that Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma had actually asked Daksha, because he was concerned that he was entrusted with increasing the population of the universe, but Lord Shiva, who had already appeared, was at that time living the life of a great yogi, single, like Brahmachari yogi, and he was very much against the family life, and almost, not resentful, but he didn't very much approve that the leaders of the universe were becoming married and increasing the population. He thought that everyone should be involved in tapasya and going for the liberation, mukti. So Lord Brahma, he thought it would be a very difficult position to increase the population of the universe if Lord Shiva is not favorably disposed to this situation. So better if we can convince him to become married would be better. There are stories like that from the Puranas. That better he's married than he's like one of us. Because when he gets that, it's very difficult. So some have tried. He actually, I think the story was that even Kamadev went with his wife and tried to persuade him, but with no success. Then Lord Brahma asked the Daksha that you pray. There's different versions of the story, but anyway, I'll tell the one that I'm saying now, that that he asked him to pray to Parashakti, Mahashakti, who actually is the eternal wife of Lord Shiva, that she become Daksha's daughter. And so, although Daksha and his wife had many daughters, they went for tapasya to propitiate the descent of Parashakti, Mahashakti, as their daughter. So after a long time, she appeared and she said, yes, all right, I will continue everything, but I will come as your daughter and I will marry Lord Shiva. But if you ever disrespect me in the future, I will give up that body and take another body. So this is the story. So Daksha had undergone great austerity to get the Mahashakti as his daughter. So finally she came, and there's a whole leela there, how she underwent also tapasya, meditating on Lord Shiva. And then somebody went there to inform Lord Shiva about the marriage again. And he said that, well, actually it was Brahma and then also Lord Vishnu who went there to convince him. And then he said, well, if I become married, she will have to be like a yogini, like I am a yogi. She would have to be very renounced, like I am, like that. So, oh yes, there's one very suitable girl like that. And so and he came to know, and then he went there to see her, and she was doing a tapasya the same. So he was immediately attracted. They were eternally related. And so they were married. So in that way, I tell this story because, interestingly enough, later on, Daksha, who was a very exalted person, a very affable personality, did so much tapasya to get the Mahashakti as his daughter. And she informed him that if ever he offended her, she would give up that body. But still, out of when he organized that big yajna, and all the devas were there, and he came in, and we know that the Lord Brahma was there, all the big devas were there, Lord Shiva was there in meditation, and then when Lord Daksha came in, everyone stood, and Lord Brahma welcomed him. But Lord Shiva, being in meditation, he didn't stand, so he thought that this was very insulting, that now Lord Shiva had married his daughter, which made him, socially speaking, in a subordinate position. He's the son-in-law, but he's forgetting the actual position of Lord Shiva. So, we know that we read it in the fourth canto, and the whole history, how he became very offended by Lord Shiva, that he didn't stand up and offer respect as everyone else did. And so he spoke against Lord Shiva some very heavy words. And you can read in the fourth canto what he actually said against Lord Shiva. Some very, very heavy, some very sharp words. And Prabhupada comments that due to pride, one becomes can become very envious and anger comes up very easily. So when one is angry, then one can do all sorts of abominable things. So Daksha, forgetting everything, criticized Lord Shiva, and then after he finished, he left. And Lord Shiva was very sorry to hear that. He didn't do anything. And he was very tolerant. And proper comments actually a Vaishnava, but he was always very tolerant. That's why later on we'll read how Daksha again curses Narad Muni because he took these sons to the path of the Paramahamsa, and then the second set of sons, that what was the name of Savalashas, again Daksha had 1,000 more sons, and then these ones also. So Daksha was angry with Narad Muni that again, you know, he frustrated his purpose and he cursed him. But of course Narad took it, you know, you will always be one and everything, and suddenly will read the curse. But Narad took it as a great blessing. And Prabhupada also mentions there that Narad Muni is very fixed in his tolerance. And he mentions about Lord Shiva, always very tolerant. Vaishnava is always so. This is an interesting point, because tolerance is one of the great qualities of the Vaishnava, and it comes from situating oneself in the Sattva Guna, the mode of goodness, and especially in the Sudha Sattva, the pure goodness. It is not easily acquired, especially in Kali Yuga, where the people are more in the mode of ignorance and passion. And forbearance and tolerance are some of the qualities, the great transcendental, saintly qualities of the Vaishnavas. So, Prabhupada mentions later on that the Narad Muni was fixed in his tolerance. That means that sometimes someone is tolerant in one situation, but in another situation, not tolerant. Someone can be like that, oh, they tolerated this, but then not tolerant, you know, become angry in another situation. But Narad Muni is fixed in his tolerance, and Lord Shiva is always, that means it's always. Of course, you know, as far as later on, when Sati gave up her body, then Lord Shiva didn't tolerate that, but that's as far as someone else, and that's as far as the great Sati is concerned. And as far as himself, he was always tolerant. He tolerated, he didn't say anything. And then he also left. We read that whole sequence of events, that Daksha left and then Lord Shiva left. And then you know, all the Nandi stood up and he said something, and others said something back, and then it became a disaster, and a disastrous situation. Now later on, of course, Daksha was holding another yagya, and we know the story that he didn't even invite Lord Shiva at all, and this was a great offense. So, Sati had wanted to go and wanted her husband to come, even though they were not invited. So Lord Shiva, he didn't want to go. He said, actually, when one is not invited, even from a relative, even a father, that it's not very advisable to go. But she wanted to go. She presented so many reasons that so many others are going, but Prabhupada explains the actual reason was that she wanted that her husband be actually properly respected. She went there to see if he was being given proper respect. And so she went there, and when she saw all that, and when her own father just ignored her, didn't even acknowledge her presence, then she became angry. And others wanted to, you know, her followers who came with her wanted to take action, and she said, no, don't, I will give up this body. So again, I go back to that story that she had told Daksha, having you know, done so much tapasya to get the Mahashakti as his daughter. We see how he treated Lord Shiva. Now Prabhupada explains that this was due to some envy, the real reason. Of course, Daksha gave something, oh, he's not very clean, unclean habits, he's ruining the reputation, and so many reasons. But the real reason is that Lord Shiva is honored even above Daksha. So Daksha had become a little puffed up. Or massively puffed up, and because he was a leader of the Prajapati. So Lord Shiva was in a more exalted position. So within his heart, he bore resentment for Lord Shiva that he was even more exalted, even though he was in a son-in-law. So he was worshipped even more than Daksha himself was worshipped. So that built up. When one holds that in the heart, it builds up. It builds up, and then it comes out at some point or many times. And so it happened. And so Daksha had that feeling against Lord Shiva. But we see how he lost his temper and became angry and spoke many harsh words. But great personalities like Narad Muni, Lord Shiva himself, didn't do anything. This takes a lot of advancement in Krishna consciousness to come to this place. A lot to be forbearing, to be tolerant, takes a lot of advancement. And one can come to this level actually really only in Krishna consciousness by purifying the soul, purifying, lifting all the coverings of the mode of nature, especially ignorance and passion. Then these qualities can come up more and more and more. So anyway, going back, so a little bit of history there in as far as Daksha. And so Daksha, of course, he did another journey. Sati had given up her body, and then of course we know that Lord Shiva became angry and plucked the hairs Lord Virabhadra, and also on the other side, the expansion of Durga there, and then they went there. And everyone was killed, and even Daksha himself, Virabhadra, took off his head and threw it in the fire. Later on, Lord Shiva came, and they wanted to finish the journey. And then he got the goat's head and put it on the head of the body of Daksha. So we know the story. So Daksha, sometimes when you go to India you see Daksha depicted in paintings and sometimes on the temples with a goat's head. He had the goat's head. And so when he came back to life, all of a sudden he had the realization what a great offense he had committed, and he begged forgiveness from Lord Shiva. He was he repented. He was purified by the mercy of Lord Shiva, and then he, with the goat's head, so he had a life. And it's mentioned that the incident of the Daksha Yagya was in one Manvantara, which was Swayambhu Manvantara, and then he lived a long time with the goat's head. And then another Manvantara, Chakrusha Manvantara, he came back again, and the son of the Prachetas, wasn't the story told him? The Prachetas, the 10 sons of King Prachinibhaja. They went for tapasya, and then when they came out from the ocean, all the trees were there. We were just talking about that. And they became India, the trees, and then the trees had brought up one daughter, Apsara, who had been Marisha was with her. And she was offered to the Prachetas as like a shared wife. And so they took her as their wife, and then within her, Daksha took birth again. So Prabhupada comments, just see for his offense, Daksha, that born originally as very high, one of the original Manasaputra, mind sons of Lord Brahma, then due to his offense had to take had a goat's head, not very auspicious. Usually the goat in the yagyas, although we don't follow this thing, but in the yagyas, goats are offered in the sacrifice, goats and other animals like that. And of course, it's said that one should not do these things, but they are offered, and generally their heads are separated, and the heads are offered. But the heads are offered to the deity in the body is right. Anyway, he had to have that goat's head for a long time. And then proper comments, then he had to take birth in a womb. Now, the original birth was just from the mind of Brahma, from how he appeared in the body, and then the second birth. And he, Prabhupada actually says that this was, see what happens when you commit offense against great souls, like especially someone like Lord Shiva, that he had to get the goat's head, and then he had to take birth again. Before he was the great Daksha, that's born directly from Brahma, not ordinary, didn't have to take ordinary birth. Then in the womb again come like that. So this is the result. And are you seeing the sword that I'm on look when I see you which are hunting sent some Pum Samahada Pikram? I was giving a class at I think Canberra, I was quoting this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. When a man persecutes great souls, all his benedictions of longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessings, and promotion to higher planets will be destroyed. So one has to be very, very careful committing the offences. So Prabhupada says, all these situations at Daksha, he had to, because of offences against great personalities, and due to anger, one commits all sorts of less intelligent and sometimes atrocious activities. Anyway, so we read here that Daksha had the sons Hayashvas, and they were very nice boys, very qualified boys. 10,000. Daksha, the word Daksha means one who is very expert in progeny. they are very powerful individuals. They can have like thousands and thousands of children. Not possible for the people of Kali Yuga on earth, but these great powerful entities. Daksha was very expert in these affairs. So we had 10,000 sons, and here it is mentioned they are all very gentle, they are all very obedient to the father, to the orders of their father, and they went to perform tapasya, and they went to a place called Narayana Saras. Now this Narayana Saras, it still exists, and it's, I was thinking of going there one time, and it was just up in the, I don't know if some who's from Gujarat here, but when I went to the Dwarka, just right up above Dwarka, and right in the far corner of India, just on the, near the border of Pakistan, it's now called, more commonly known as Narayana Sarovar. And right in the corner there, when you look at the map of India, right on the western side, and right near the border of Pakistan is this place called Narayana Sarovar. So it's just the Dwarka is a little bit down below, and all the different holy places as you go to the coast there, the Arabian Sea is there, and you can go to. So I did a few trips there when I went to Dwarka, and I was looking at that, but it was a little bit, you have to go a little bit around and around again. So that's a very famous holy place, big lake there, and it is said that in the Puranic times there's one history where the sages were there. There was one drought, very long drought, and it was barren land. And so the sages did one yajna and prayed to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu was very satisfied. He came there and he put his toe on the ground, and by then a many big lake was created. And so from that time it's considered a very holy place. One of the, I think there's a, considered the five very holy lakes in India. Pushkar is one, and there are different holy lakes in India. And that place is considered one of the five holy lakes of India. And so to go there, very, very auspicious to go to that place. And so the boys went there, and they went to this Narayan Saras, or Narayan Sarovar, and there one river. But then, as I said, there was a drought, so it was made, the lake came there. I think there's supposed to be more than one lake there, Narayan Saras. But anyway, many sages and others advanced in spiritual consciousness lived there like in the present tense. So, That place, the Hayashvas went there. And so in that place, Hayashvas regularly touch the lake's waters and bathing in the waters. It was very holy to go there. One is said to have to go for the touching, paying obeisances, and going for the bath in the lake there. Very auspicious. So by regularly doing that, one becomes purified. And here it said. And they very gradually become very much purified. And they became inclined toward the activities of Paramahansa. When one becomes purified, you turn more to the spiritual things. Mind turns away from the material activity. So they had received the order go there and increase, have nice progeny. So interestingly enough, in the ancient times, to have nice children, they did tapasya. They practiced austerities, and they try to develop their spiritual consciousness to have nice children. And this is very much recommended. We know in the Vana and Ashram that there are different samskaras, there's general samskaras for all of the Vanas and the Ashrams, and there's specific ones for the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas and the Sudras also, and also for the Brahmacharis and the Grihasthas, the different samskaras. Before the birth, you have another samskara, another chanting, and all the, you can do all different samskaras. We were just giving a class on Gopurnim, and the next day was the festival of Jagannath Mishra, where he observed the Japa Karma. And after a few more days, Nam Karma, Japa Karma means welcoming the baby in the world, and you can have the Yajna performed. These are all different samskaras. You put the actually, at the time of the Jagannath, he put the golden. He got the Nilambar head, Sachi was the father, Nilambar Chakravarti. He did the, and he had the golden spoon with the honey on there. He put on the tongue of the child to awaken the senses of the baby. It's one day, the next day, one day old baby. So that is called Japakam. And so you can do many things. You can have a very elaborate one also. Yajna everything, and then the father was doing that, the breathing of the pranam, touching the earth, mantras, or so many things. So the name is given, but that's like a secret name, and later Nam Karma, which is another ceremony, and you give the name, or just the name according to the chart calculation, what is the best name according to the moon, and everything like that. So we're just giving the class in Canberra. Like that. So all different samskaras are meant to purify our existence, to have the nice, to attract the nice entity to come in the womb, and then to the child born, and to purify the situation. And so they had gone there to practice tapasya, to the holy place. The holy place, become purified, and to follow the order of their father. They were very gentle boys, and they're very obedient to the father. In the Kali Yuga, we don't find that so much anymore. They go against the father, they go against the parents. Those boys were very gentle, and they were following the order of the father. But Naraguni, he is always travelling everywhere. He's renunciate, he's also brahmachari. And so he is thinking that these boys are practicing so much tapasya, taking all this effort, why go back into material life? Why not go in the other way? Go out. So he thought like that. So. Very cleverly he went there, so they had been ordered to increase the population, to perform severe austerities, fulfill the desire. One day the great sage, he saw them performing very nice, fine austerities. And so he approached them. And then he gives this very, and we'll read more about this story, the allegorical story of the you have not seen the extremities of the earth, and we can read about this. I'll give class tomorrow, so we can read about the meaning of Naraguni's analogy and the allegorical presentation of these points here. There's a woman who's extremely unsteady, happy. There's a hole from which, having entered, no one emerges. What this actually means, you know, and a kind of a code type presentation. We also saw him, King Prachinibhaisha, he was telling the story, King Puranjana. So Narad Muni from time to time does that. He tells a story that's not exactly of the person, but like the person. So he's saying like that, and one should discouraging them to go into the family life. Why they should follow their father's order? Normally, this is. Now Narad Muni obviously is well aware that he's going against the order of the father, and the father would not be very happy at all that he's told his sons to go and prepare themselves to increase the population, and he's going against it. But for the higher cause, it is allowable to do like that. Devashi Bhutapranyan. One who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away. Everyone is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. One who has surrendered the Lord's service has no need to serve such persons separately. So normally, you know, following the order of the father, especially in the Vedic culture, is very, very important. One should respect the parents, one should respect the forefather, one should respect the devas, as mentioned here, great sages, other relatives, all living beings, actually. We're so indebted, as soon as we take birth, we're indebted. And so here, Narad Muni was saying to go against all that. So this is a very drastic instruction, radical instruction. But because it's for the higher purpose, just like we told the story of Lord Chaitanya on Gopranin, now he was a Grihastha, his elder brother had left home taking sannyas, so that was, so he became married, and his first wife, Lakshmi Priya, she died early, so his mother asked him to marry again, he married again, but then at some point he said that I want to take the sannyas now, so he left home. And the Prabhupada explains, for the bigger service of the world, he gave up the smaller service of the family. Normally, one is very obliged, and one irresponsibly gives up that service and duty, and then that is not very good, and one gets reactions for doing that. But if it's for a higher service, a greater cause, and authorized by great personalities, then the higher purpose, the smaller purpose is served by the higher purpose, ultimately. So, Narad Muni was preaching in this way to them, and they actually were turned by Narad Muni. And it is mentioned here that the Prabhupada actually quotes from the Prahlad Maharishi, that going into the family life, it is because of the we have accepted a temporary body, material body. Just as soon as we accept the body, even just our own bodies give us trouble. And I want to speak of you. You get married, and then there's children. And everything becomes very complicated. And here, actually, Prahlad Maharaj, he quotes Prahlad Maharaj. He said, "One is always full of anxiety. Just the fact that you've got a material body. As soon as you get a material body, you're going to be in anxiety. Because we're the spirit soul, we're eternal, all of a sudden you've got a temporary material body. It's created, it's going to go for some time, then it's going to degenerate. So immediately, it's anxiety. You cannot avoid anxiety. Here it is said that if one is in his own body, causing anxiety, then there's so many others to think about, and the whole society, everything like that, everything, as I said, becomes complicated, and it becomes like a very darker well that once going in there, you can't get out. If you fall in the dark well, a very deep dark well, and I think this is what Narad Muni means by the hole, which is one enters and then can never get out. It's very hard to get out of it, very, very hard to get out. So, why go in? Of course, when you go in, if you practice the Krishna consciousness, then you can be very exalted. But if you just go in without Krishna consciousness, and if you can avoid going in altogether, if one is inclined like that, and they've got the nature like that, the ability like that, then Narad Muni is preaching to them, and very powerful, strong preacher, and he turned them, and then they gave up the idea. They gave up the idea. So that would have been radical for the sons to do that, especially, as I said, in the Vedic times. They were generally the sons, and they were very obedient to the father. If the father said something, they would follow it. So it would be very radical for the sons to do that. So they did it anyway because of the order and the preaching of Narad Muni. And even for Narad Muni to preach like that, quite radical, but Narad Muni, preaching a higher purpose, undertook that. And not only once, he did it twice with the second sons as well. So we'll read more about that go through this particular chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Does anyone have any question or comment in regard to what I've been explaining, these verses from the Bhagavatam? Any comments, questions? Yes, Pastor.
What was the intention of Daksha when he manifested Maha? Shakti was his intention that she would become propagate population also, or how did that come about?
Well, as I explained in that story, that Brahma was worried Lord Shiva was a yogi, practicing tapasya and yogi, and wasn't inclined, and was there was one incident where the leaders were there's another corollary story about Kamadev exercising his powers on the leaders of the universe and created a girl by the name of Sandhya, and all of them became attracted to her, and he wanted to test his powers. So all of them became attracted. So Lord Shiva was criticizing how all these leaders could be attracted and just see the power of being attracted in this way. So he was criticizing. So Lord Brahma, being entrusted with increasing the population, so even those leaders became a little fearful of Lord Shiva. And so it's going to be a problematic, especially the great Lord Shiva is going to be speaking out against it. So therefore, he thought that it would be the only Ma Shakti, Parashakti descendant could come and be married to Lord Shiva. Then maybe Lord Shiva, becoming married himself, couldn't really speak against being married. So that was the idea. And she agreed to it. Of course, they're eternally husband and wife. So and it was just kind of a lila in there. Yes.
Thank you for the class. It's not in connection with this, but I was just wondering if you could suggest something. How can we get with the mentality of just when you're chanting, just finishing our rounds? Just want to finish.
Getting them over with. You know, Prabhupada one time he joked, some devotees, they're thinking that he put his beads down after doing the japa, and he said that he just gave him and he said, now I've finished my rounds. Now I can do any damn thing. So some disciples were in the room, so he was just illustrating, just in a graphic way. Some disciples are thinking like that. Get around it, then I can do any damn thing. But then he preached against it. No, we shouldn't have this. One has to develop love and devotion. By practicing the principles of Krishna and hearing what is the means of the chant, especially at Shikshashtakam, we were giving a class the other day in regard that if one has to always chant and to be able to always be chanting and develop love and devotion in the chanting, then Lord Chaitanya, this was the statement of Sanatana Goswami and also Krishnadas Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita, says this: one has to always remember this verse given by Lord Chaitanya. Chinarapi samichina tarorapi samichina amanana kirtaniyasa. One should think oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tall than the tree, avoid all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. So this verse, especially this verse from Shikshashtakam, Sanatana Goswami and Krishnadas, should be worn like a necklace around one's neck. And if one always remains very humble and tolerant and forbearing while chanting, then you can continue to chant. You can chant continuously, but always remembering this. But always remain humble, and then gradually, you won't feel like you'll just get the rounds out of the way, and then I can do any damn thing. You won't have that type of attitude. But that means your chanting is. If one is thinking like that, then it means your chanting is not very pure. And maybe also, you may be committing offences and you're losing your taste for chanting. Maybe you started off with enthusiasm and then you're losing your taste. So that sometimes is the result of offences in the chanting and offences to the Vaishnava and many types of offences. So one should be very careful and examine themselves. If you're losing your taste, that is generally offence. This is explained by the Acharyas, that the taste for chanting goes down and because of the offense. So one has to be careful. So, any further questions?
Yes.
This year in this city, we see that Daksha was entrusted to populate and as his service. And Narada Muni is also representative of the Supreme Lord. Now, these two people are fighting for the resources to do the service. How do you avoid the conflict in solving the resource management?
Trinada Pisa Vichina. Amani Adhima Kirtaniya Feya. One has to always remain very humble.
Now, the thing is, it's service. Yes, everyone has their service to do, but we also should recognize that some service is more important than other service. All service is important, but some service has to give way to other service. The grand plan. Some of you may have a service that needs to be done, but at the moment another service has to be done that is at this point in time more important than this other service. So if you're always Trinada Pisanit, you're always very humble, then you'll understand, yes, well, Prabhu has to do this service, so therefore my service can be done. Or resources, well, let's see which is should be given the priority. If the resources are limited, let's see which one is given the priority, or is, you work together, and you get some resource now, I get some resource later, like that. You can work together if you remain humble. But if you're puffed up, then you know you can go into the duck. How dare you? Who do you think you are coming here and taking these resources? These resources are meant for my service. And, I was telling the story the other morning about Chandigas, you know, the very famous devotee. Chandigas was known as Chandigas. But Chandigas originally was the devotee of Chandi. It was a fierce form of Durga Devi. But his brother was a Vaishnava, and a very very devoted Vaishnava. And he was worshipping the Lord, and at one time he couldn't get any flowers, but his brother, Chandi, was very rich, and he had fields and fields of flowers, and he was worshipping Chandi. So his brother went over there one time to get some flowers for the worship of Lord Vishnu. So Chandi found him and came very angry. How dare you, like that? How dare, who do you think, these are for Chandi, this is mine, and he chastised his brother very severely. He had a dream that night that Chandi Devi herself came and chastised very heavily. You, why are you chastising your brother like that? He is worshipping my master. And he was very sorry, and he in the dreams like this. I said, well, maybe I should also worship Lord Vishnu. Yes, I would be very happy. Here's my son. He turned from Chandi Bhakta, Shakti Bhakta, to Bhakta Vaishnava. So he was like that with his brother. So, you know, out of pride, out of whatever, you can become very heavy. You can do things that you're going to later regret, especially if you're a devotee, you're going to regret, or if you don't regret, that's even worse. But, you know, you regret. And we see in Daksha, when he got the goat's head, he regretted. He had an awakening, an epiphany. Oh, I have done this very bad thing. And he prayed to Lord Shiva. And so that's good that you do like that. So he did like that, and then he was all right. But then later on, he cursed Narada Muni. Again he did. So. Yeah, pride always creeps up, pride, and out of pride again. Because they're feeling frustrated, he's doing all this progeny, and then Narada Muni is taking away the sun. So in one sense, you know. But we should never forget, he is the great Daksha, he's a very exalted soul, so this is once in a while we see this happen, but in a very dramatic way. In a very dramatic way, we can learn all sorts of things from these stories. Well, thank you very much. Jai Sampapa Ki Jai. Welcome.